My study in recent weeks has been in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. So if you'd like to turn there with me, Zechariah chapter 2. Last week we were in chapter 4. We're going to back up a couple of chapters and read some verses here in chapter 2. Zechariah was a prophet to the returning remnant back to Jerusalem, back to the promised land. All those after their 70 years of captivity, many of them returned. Zechariah was a prophet to them. Most of what you read in the book of Zechariah, there were actually 10 different visions that he received. And in those visions, it was really a twofold thing. It was an encouragement to them. Don't you like to be encouraged? It's nice to be encouraged. And Zechariah is encouraging all of these that are returning. But it's really, his message was more than just a message to those returning remnant. It was also prophetic, looking at the future and the kingdom that was going to be established and Christ the Messiah that was going to come in the future. And so he was also speaking the establishing of the church and what God was going to do through the ministry of the church. And so it's an important book. It's one of the minor prophets, minor because it's smaller. The minor prophets were not, they weren't minor because they were less important. They were minor because they just were shorter messages. But his message actually is the longest of the minor prophets, 14 chapters. And so it's an important message. Let's look here in chapter 2, verse number 1. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked. Behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. Behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be under her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them. They shall be a spoil to their servants. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Amen. We'll stop reading right there. Let's just take a moment and pray. Lord, we ask you to open our hearts to your word. And I know, Lord, that you speak to us by your Holy Spirit and through the power of the scripture. And we thank you for your word, Lord, that speaks to our present times, our present needs. We're just so grateful, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint this time as we look into your word, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've already mentioned that this is a message to the returning Jews from Babylon. It's a message of encouragement to them. This first wave, actually, they returned in about three different waves, three major returns over a period of maybe 80 or so years that they returned. But this first wave that Zechariah is prophesying to was the largest. probably near 50,000 people. And then their animals and all that were a part of that that return back to Israel. Actually, Zerubbabel, who this message is being given to, his name, we mentioned this last week, his name literally means from there, that he was probably a young man born in Babylon, but then became this leader to bring them back to the promised land. As I said, probably 50,000 people. That's a lot of people. If you think about the size of Laurel County, the last count was something like close to 62,000 people live in Laurel County. So that's 50,000. Just putting that in perspective, when you get out on the streets and you go to Walmart and you see all these masses of people, think of that number of people being confined to the area known as Zion or the city of Jerusalem. That's a lot of people in that area, in that space. Sad to say, there was just about as many that stayed, even more probably, that stayed in Babylon than came back. They stayed there. Some of them stayed because they were too old to make the 900-mile journey to Israel. They were just old. And others of them stayed, and they financed it. They gave of their silver and their gold to those that were going to go back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, the walls, the temple, and to reestablish the city of Jerusalem. But the majority of those that stayed, they had just got settled into Babylon, the comfortable life, and you know, all the conveniences of living in Babylon, and they decided to stay in Babylon. Yet there's this group of people, thousands of them, that return to Jerusalem. We mentioned this last week. When they get back, they in chapter 4, it describes what they saw there. There were mountains of rubble, nothing but the city in complete destruction. The walls are torn down. The temple is torn down. Hardly any dwellings are remaining. The place is just nothing but rubble and piles of rubble. Can you imagine the discouragement of traveling 900 miles? Many of these that had never been to Jerusalem before, they were young, they were born in Babylon, and all they knew about Jerusalem was what they had been told. Oh, Jerusalem, that's Zion, that's our city, that's the city of God. And they had heard all their life about this glorious, wonderful place, and then they get there, and it's just a pile of rocks. It's just nothing but rubble that's there, and nothing but destruction. For them, no houses, no shelters, no place for them to stay, no protection with walls, no temple to worship in, nothing like they had imagined that it was going to be. All of it lay in destruction. But here's the encouraging message that Zechariah received from the Lord. He saw a man with a measuring line in his hand, and he's walking throughout. If you've ever seen someone do this that's getting ready to build a structure, they go out, they survey it, they get it all laid out, they stake it off, they measure it off, they get ready for footings to be dug and for foundations to be laid. And that's what this man is doing. That's what he sees in this vision. So the message of encouragement from this man with this line in his hand, that in the middle of all of this mess, that God was going to build. God was going to rebuild. Amen. That the city was going to be restored. The city was going to be rebuilt. And so the encouragement that was being given to them was that God is a builder, and he's going to build his kingdom. And this is a message that was for those returning Jews, but it's also a message for you and I in these days, when everywhere we look, we see nothing but trouble and problems and disaster and destruction. In a spiritual sense, we see a lot of things that are happening in our world today, and it just looks like a big mess that we're in. That's like those returning Jews. But I want you to know that God is a builder. And he can build in the midst of destruction. And God gives a vision of building his kingdom. Building his kingdom. We live in a world that's in a big mess right now. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. It's nothing but a mess. The morals, the character, the decency of people in our world today, it's just being laid in destruction. Nothing but destruction. But be encouraged today to know that God is a builder. And he can build his kingdom in the middle of the biggest messes that you can ever imagine. Right now, we are in a lot of calamity and a lot of mess in our world today. Even in the church world, folks are confused. They don't know what to believe and where to place their confidence and their hope. But I want you to know that God is a builder. Amen. Praise God. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Amen. He is a builder. He will build his church, and he's going to have a church even in the middle of such a dark and a troubling time as you and I live in right now. God is, he's building his kingdom. Praise God. He is building his church. Amen. Notice that it says that this message was given to a young man. The angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said, "Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls." He's speaking to young. And so for the younger generation, of which I'm not a part of anymore, but for the younger generation, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know that God is going to build his church. And he's going to use you to do it. He's going to use the young and the strong. And he's going to empower you. And he's going to anoint you. And he's going to give to you a vision for the work of the kingdom of God. And just be encouraged today to know that God can speak to the young. Amen. And he can do some wonderful things through the lives of young people. Amen. Amen. Praise God. When Marcia and I left here in 1982, we went out to Oklahoma to try to start a church. We had never done that before. We didn't know really that much about how to do it. We just went out there because we felt like God put it in our heart to do it. In 1982, we went there to establish a church. And at first, we were just in a little rented building with a few people. And then God, just along the way, helped. Buildings were built. When we left there to come here 12 and a half years after we had been there, two buildings had been built. Both of them were completely paid for. There was no debt on a 6-acre plot of land where those buildings were built. God did it. Now, it wasn't us, but it was because God, the very nature of God is a builder. God is building his kingdom. And he wants to do the same thing in your life and for us right here at this location. God is building his kingdom, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Praise God. God is in the business of building. I've had people ask me before, if you weren't a preacher, if you weren't called to be a preacher and a pastor, what would you be doing? And I've thought of it a lot of times, and I've come to the conclusion that I would probably be a bulldozer driver. I have watched these guys with this heavy equipment and what they can do, and I tell you what, I admire them so much. They just knock down the big things and get it out of the way. They make that which is tall and in the way, and they are able to flatten it and completely get it prepared. I believe I might be a bulldozer driver if I wasn't called to preach. Amen. 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 I love to watch the whole process of the preparing of a piece of property to see it get built. I'll drive around town and I'll see some land being developed, and I want to know what in the world is going on. Who's going to build there? What are they going to build there? And so I usually call Tim Smith because he knows everything that's going on in London. Everything. Sure enough, He'll usually know, and he'll tell me, well, so-and-so bought that land, and they're going to do this with it, and they're going to build that, and this is coming. Maybe I'm a little weird. I don't know. Hopefully not. But I do know this, that God is in the business of building, and he's promised that he, in the last days, even with all of this destruction and all the mess of this generation, that God is going to build his church. And he is building his church. You know, you can't build if you don't have a vision. You got to have a vision if you're going to build. You got to be able to see it. This man went out, it says, and he saw this dream or this vision. He saw this vision of this man with a measuring line in his hand. He was measuring Jerusalem to see how wide it was, to see how long it was. Because there was getting ready to be 50,000 people that were going to inhabit that place. They were coming from Babylon, and they were trekking 900 miles from the area that's known now as Iraq. And they traveled 900 miles. That's a long way to drive. It's certainly a long way to walk. And they traveled that long distance, and they were headed for Mount Zion. They were heading for what was the city of Jerusalem. And so they're measuring it out. How wide is it going to be? How long is it going to be? Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. They're coming. They're coming. God is a builder. It requires a vision. It requires a plan. It requires a foundation. And so since God is the builder, you and I need to join in with the whole program of God in building the kingdom of God in these last days. Amen. I believe that God was speaking to that younger generation that he was going to establish his kingdom. He was going to build it, and it was going to be a city without walls. A city without walls. Now, not so much in our day, but cities in that day without walls were very, very vulnerable. It was a dangerous, dangerous thing. And I want you to know that in the city of Mount Zion, and I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, walls are important to the people of God. They're important. If there are no walls, then you're vulnerable to attack. You're placed in a dangerous situation if there are no walls. Walls were not just built to keep people in or to restrict people. A lot of people think, well, you just set up all these walls and all these convictions and standards, and all that's just restricting of people's lives. Not so. Not so. It's for protection. It's for protection. And those boundaries that have been established by God were placed there and are there for our protection. If we have no wall, then we have no protection. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. It's true even for a nation. If you don't have boundaries and borders that are protected in a nation, you really don't have a safe nation. That's what we're facing right now in the United States of America. We are not protected because there have been in the last year almost 3 million people that have entered into the United States illegally. Now, I'm all for those coming in who come in by the ways of the legal process of immigrating to our country. Everybody in the world wants to come to America, and everybody that is in America, or many in America today, hate the nation of America. But all over the world, it's a place that everyone wants to come to. And they're willing to risk their lives. I just saw a news thing earlier this week where a boat capsized. They were trying to get to Florida. And they don't know how many people died, how many drowned, trying to get to the United States of America. Immigrants trying to get here. They've come across the border illegally. They've come across after traveling, many of them by hundreds of miles, because they want to get to the United States of America. If we don't have any borders, then we're vulnerable. And if you try to live for God and you try to be a part of the kingdom of God in the church, and you have no boundaries and no borders and no walls, then you are in a dangerous situation. If there are no boundaries, if there's no guardrails, then you're going to be in danger. We have to establish these things from God's word for our divine protection. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. Parents, God has placed you in your household, your family, to establish borders and protection for your kids. You hand your kid a device or an iPhone or a smartphone and just let them have free use of that without any controls or any parental guide in there. You're asking for disaster. You are asking for trouble. If you give your teenager any kind of a device where they have access to the internet and there's no controls and no supervision over that, then it's nothing but disaster that's coming from all of that that's out there in the world. The world's trying to get access to the hearts and the minds of our youth today. And they'll use all these devices and not just TV, movies, music, you name it. It's all coming in. It's being pumped in to the hearts and the minds of young people today. And if you're not in control, if you're not providing some walls, then your children are going to be vulnerable. Amen. And so it's not just a secular world out there. It's a godless world out there. And all the wickedness and all of the vile things of this world, they're trying to insert them into the hearts of our children. Amen. You got to have guidelines and protection. If you don't, get those set up right now. Not right now, but this afternoon. Amen. Protect your children. Mom and Dad, it's your responsibility before God to protect them, to keep them from all of these things that are of this world. Amen. All this wickedness, it's just spewing in every direction. It's available to anybody who wants to get online. All kinds of wicked, vile things that are being promoted. And even the drug world is being promoted. All kinds of demonic influences are being involved. There's a lot of children that even get caught in the trap. And they are lured away from their families. 10,000 children last year in the United States of America were lured away and were trafficked into an awful lifestyle. Unbelievable that it could happen. But it happens many times because there's not a parent that's protecting. There's not a family that's protecting. Folks, we ought a big responsibility. There have to be walls. We have to establish walls for divine protection of our households and our families and our church. Amen. Glory to God. All the wicked and the vile. You know, we used to, I think it was Zig Ziglar who wrote a book called Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. That don't fit anymore. It really doesn't fit anymore. Today, it should be protecting your kids from a perverted world. Protecting our children from the perversions that are of this world. And we have a divine responsibility. And how can we do that? Well, he tells us. Right here in this wonderful vision. He said, this city is going to be a city inhabited without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. But the Lord said, for I, saith the Lord, will be under her a wall of fire round about them. Praise God. I will be the wall of fire to protect them and to keep them safe. You see, that first wave, that 50,000 that came under Zerubbabel, there, for a lot of years, there was no wall. The wall wasn't built until Nehemiah and Esther came, and that was like 80 years later. All of those years, the wall was not built. And God said to them, I will be a wall for you. I will be a wall of fire round about you. I'll protect you. I'll take care of you during these times. I have to tell you, I've got 10 grandchildren. I try not to worry, but I do worry. I do worry sometimes. I worry about them. I want them to know God more than anything. I want them to walk with God. Our kids in England were in a situation over there. They were in a school that was very secular, and
Eric and Kyle were very troubled over the situation. They didn't have many options at all. They come back to the States and are in Florida, and God has worked it out for those kids to be in a Christian school. And it's making an impact already. It's making such a difference. They're learning Scripture. They're memorizing Scripture. They're going to worship chapel services. And there's a godly influence there upon them. And Erica sent us a little video clip this week of a kid in a chapel service worshiping the Lord. And I just thought, God, you know how to protect our kids. You know how to protect them. You can build a wall of fire around them and keep them preserved from all of the things that are in this world. Two of our Woodward kids out in Albuquerque are now in a Christian school. Praise God. Praise God. And the Lord is using that to influence their lives. And I praise God for what He is doing. Next year, Emmy is going to be in a Christian school. And parents have to sacrifice. It costs a lot of money. Not at LCA so much. But pretty much everywhere else, it's a huge investment. But remember, Mom and Dad, you've got a big responsibility, and that is to protect them and preserve them. They're in a world without walls. That's the world they're growing up in. There's no restraint and no protections for them. And the only protection has to be the fire, a wall of fire that is built around them to protect them from the things that the enemy is coming against them with. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Parents, sometimes you have to be the bad guy. Amen. You can be friends with your kids only so far. And then you have to be their dad or their mother. And you'll have to be the bad guy sometimes. They're not going to be happy about it. They're not going to be pleased. I can remember times when my mom said, I really don't want you to be involved in that. I don't want you to do that. And I would get so upset with her. And since my dad wasn't saved, sometimes I would try to go to him and say, Dad, Mom says she don't want me to do this. And my dad would just say, well, we better go along with your mom. We better go along with your mom. And he knew he was backing her up in an important decision. She's trying to build a wall of fire around us. She's trying to protect us from the things of this world that want to devour our lives and destroy our lives and destroy the potential and the future of our lives. Build a wall of fire around your family, around your household. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For I say, if the Lord will be under her, a wall of fire around her. You say, how do I do that? Well, there's a lot of things that are happening in our world right now. And sad to say, evil men are getting worse and worse. Things are getting darker and darker. People are being deceived by so much in our world today. And there's a flaunting of sin. There's a brazenness of sin. And I don't want to get too political here, and I'll do my best not to do that. But right now we have a cabinet member to the president, and it's the leader of the Secretary to Health and Human Services. It's a man living like a woman on our president's cabinet. The Secretary of Transportation on our president's cabinet is a man married to a man who had to take maternity leave because they adopted a child. Those are the leaders of our country right now. This week, a liberal justice of the Supreme Court is retiring, and so the president has the option to make a choice. We need to really pray about this, folks. He's going to be choosing, no doubt, another liberal. He says it will be a black woman. My expectation, I'm not prophesying this, but my expectation, it will be a gay black woman to sit on the Supreme Court, because there's a brazenness about the sin of this generation. I don't care what anybody thinks. They're going to do what they want to do. Zechariah 2:6. Oh, come forth and flee from the land of the north. He's telling them to run from all of the north is really always a picture of evil and symbolic of evil and wickedness and so flee from the land of the north, run from all of this wickedness, and ask the Lord to build a wall of fire around us. Hallelujah. You see, if there is a fire burning in our church, if we have the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in our church, if you have the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in your household and your family, then you're going to be establishing this wall of fire to protect your family from all of these things. We live in a world that our children and our young people are not protected. In many cases, the family and the church has to work together to establish this wall of fire to protect them from all of the influences. Amen. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. You know, one of the things that firefighters do to try to bring a forest fire into control is they go a little ahead of the fire and they start a fire, a controlled burn. They burn up and consume all the vegetation of that controlled burn. So when the fire that's out of control gets there, it has nothing to burn. Hallelujah. If we build a fire in the house of God, if we build the fire around these altars, and the Holy Ghost is working and moving in our lives and in our church, when the fire of the world comes against us, there'll be nothing that the fire can get to. Nothing that the fires of this world can burn out. If we are consumed by the power and the things of God, amen. When the church really gets on fire, consumed with the fire and the power of God, when all the sin and the carnality and the worldliness and all these things are all burned up, then the things of this world will not be able to affect us, not be able to touch us, because God establishes a wall of fire. God says, I will be a wall of fire around you. There may not be a physical wall that's built there, but I will be that wall. I will be that wall that will protect you. And for a space of probably 80 years before the actual wall was built, God protected those that inhabited Zion. Praise God. He protected them. He preserved them. He took care of them for that span of years before the actual wall was built. He kept his word. And these are the words of this prophet Zechariah, who said, God is saying, I'm going to be a wall of fire around you. And not only that, but I will be the glory in the midst of her. Inside of those walls, inside of those boundaries that were established by the man with the measuring line in his hand, who staked it out and said, this is going to be all the area of Zion. This is it. It's going to be a big area. He staked it all off and he said, I'm going to put a wall of fire around it. And inside of that boundary is going to be the glory of the Lord in the midst of her. Hallelujah. Praise God. That I'm going to put my glory there. That just really means just my presence is going to be there. My abiding presence is going to be there in that place. Hallelujah. Folks, we really need to ask the Lord that every time we come together, and I hope that soon we can come together in all of our regular services and even revival meetings. We're trying to get it rescheduled for the end of February or the 1st of March. And it looks like that's the dates that will work out for our evangelists. But anyway, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, build a wall of fire around our church. And inside of that wall, we want your glory. We want your presence. We want the Spirit of God to be at work. I don't want our young people to grow up and to not know what it's like to sense and to feel the presence of God. I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen. I know that's happened in many cases, in many churches. Young people grow up and all they did was hear about the glory of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. But there has to be an experience that our young people growing up, that they have a touch of God. They experience the glory of the Lord in this place. Amen. Oh, we need to ask the Lord. Lord, pour your Spirit out every time we come together, every service, every time that we gather in around the altars. Lord, meet with us and pour your Spirit out upon us. Build a wall of fire around us. And Lord, place your glory inside us, our church, in every household, in every family, your glory and your presence. Hallelujah. Verse 9, for I, behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They were looking to the day that the actual wall was going to be built. But until that day, they depended on God to protect them. We live in a time right now, we're in a season when we must have the divine protection of God's holy fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Father, thank you for your word and for this message of encouragement from the prophet Zechariah. We know, Lord, that you're speaking to that particular day, but you're also speaking to us in these last days. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would all, Lord, take this burden and this responsibility, Lord. God, we ask for your divine touch in our lives, your presence in our church, your fire, Lord, around us, protecting us from all of the wickedness and the vileness of this generation. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord.